From Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 17 through 26, the apostle wrote, "In the following directives I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Jesus has come to reclaim all of us for the King and his kingdom, the kingdom of God. We may enter into it for our healing and for our salvation because of Jesus Christ. We are saved from everything that would separate us from the Lord, and we are saved for service to that same kingdom that we enter. Jesus has opened the doors for us to enter in. We continue this kind of series of sermons on worship that have to do with our identity as Daleville Christian Church. We've been talking about who we are at Daleville Christian. We started this year talking about worship because we are identified by our getting together. And I'll be talking about that in a little bit. And one thing we do when we get together is celebrate communion, our common union. So the church is identified by its gathering, which is its worship. One of the most defining moments in our worship, a moment that sets us apart from almost every denomination and many non-denominational churches, is communion. And last time we mentioned at least four reasons why we celebrate communion every time we get together, and all of those reasons have to do with Jesus. We talk about communion because it helps us answer the question about who Jesus has asked us to be here. And who has Jesus asked us to become now in the year 2013? Because the church is over 160 years old, to follow Jesus in the 19th century was one thing. To follow Jesus through the 20th century was something different, as Jesus brought the church through two world wars and a worldwide depression. Now, in the 21st century, Jesus is still calling us to follow him. Jesus is still calling us to become his disciples. And one way we do that is to continue to gather for his communion. This table may be one of the few things that has remained the same here at Daleville Christian for over 160 years. Today, Daleville Christian Church has a website. Today, Daleville Christian Church has a Facebook page. This is not your grandfather's church. This isn't even your earthly father's church. Through the website, these sermons on Sunday morning, the message here is available every minute of every day to anyone with internet access. You know how many people use Facebook? 1 billion. Does our Lord want his church to use that for his gospel? Jesus used the methods of his day, so did the apostles. We are called to use the means we have available to spread His good news. When the love of God touches the human heart, it moves the heart to reach out and share what the heart now knows. Our God reached out to us in Jesus Christ, and God reached out to us through Jesus Christ. So Jesus would reach out to others through us. Our Lord Jesus said, "I am the truth." So life isn't a list of do's and don'ts that need to be mastered. Rather, life is a relationship. We are related to the truth. We live it. We live the truth. Now, to get a better look at ourselves here at Daleville Christian Church, to get a clearer picture of Daleville Christian Church, we need to step back into history. That's where we came from, isn't it? History is where everyone came from, where you all came from. Your parents, your family, your past experiences with the Lord. It has worked to bring us together today, yes? Well, as Daleville Christian Church, we need to go back a little farther than your parents and grandparents. We go back to the frontier of America about the time of the War of 1812. You know when the War of 1812 was fought, don't you? Just checking. The oldest church building in the state of Indiana, still standing, is the Cedar Grove Baptist Church in Franklin County near Brookville. They built their first log church building in 1805, and they built a brick one in 1812, and it's still standing today. You can go see it. Churches at that time in American history were exclusive membership organizations. If you were a Methodist, you didn't go to church anywhere else. If you were a Presbyterian, you worshiped only at Presbyterian churches. You didn't go visiting other churches. And if a traveling preacher came near your settlement, you might go to the service, whether they were the correct denomination or not, but you wouldn't tell anyone you went. You just kind of slipped over there. Usually, you waited until your traveling preacher showed up, and then you went to worship. And if you were a Baptist, well, for many Baptists, other churches just didn't even exist. Your Baptist church was the only church there was, period. But friends, the point is this. In 1812, do you think that believers in Jesus Christ ever worshiped together? No, they did not. And they weren't going to. Presbyterians would not worship with Methodists, would not worship with Baptists, would not worship with Episcopalians. You get the picture. So do you think they were going to celebrate communion together? No, they were not. But around 1812, some faithful men asked some questions, and some of those faithful men were Baptists, some were Presbyterians, and they asked, why couldn't believers in Jesus Christ come around the communion table and share together this table of Jesus? This same Jesus whose mind we are all to have together. The same Jesus who prayed for the church to experience unity. Some of those brave souls thought that, yes, we can come together around the Lord's table. We can share the bread and the cup because we all believe in Jesus. Those people became the Christian churches because the Bible calls the followers of Jesus Christians. In the book of Acts, chapter 11. And those people called themselves disciples because that too was a Bible word. But be sure, the people who decided they could be together around the table because they were followers of Jesus, they were kicked out of every other church of which they had been a part. Those same folks did not use prayer books. The prayers were to come from the heart, or more correctly, the prayers would come from the Holy Spirit acting on the human heart. The prayers would not be written on the approved pages of a prayer book. And I'm not disrespecting those traditions that use prayer books or service books, but Christian churches didn't use them, and we call that tradition, like the Baptists, we call that the free worship tradition. We utilize the free worship tradition, and yet we were determined to share communion every time we got together. And we did that because that is what we read in God's Word. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, those were not once-in-a-while activities. Those actions went on all the time. If there were thousands of believers in the city of Jerusalem, verse 41 in chapter 2 of Acts says it was so, there was not one place for them to meet together. So they must have met in homes or anywhere else they could gather, continually doing what the scripture says. And it says they were devoted to it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So I will pause and ask, are you devoted to those things? And if not, then you might ask yourself the question, why not? Why am I not devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread, which is the communion table, and prayer? It's what the first followers of Jesus did. And so in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, which we have heard read, when you come together, and Paul talks about the Lord's table, so it was a part of every gathering that they had, but Paul declares to them, your meetings do more harm than good. Somebody's in trouble here. So that whatever you are doing, it isn't really the Lord's Supper, you've turned it into something else. So the Apostle Paul calls them on the carpet for it. Rather than celebrating a sacred meal that also provided for the poor, because the items of the meal that were not consumed, not eaten, were delivered to the poor, but some of the believers showed up for the purpose of eating their meal and drink to excess, even to the point of drunkenness. Paul says that's wrong. Paul wants to make sure the table is the Lord's Supper and not a free-for-all. And why? Because what the church does when it gets together is the church's identity. When we seek answers to the question of who we are and who Jesus is calling us to be, one quick and easy answer is this communion table. And so this table still sets us apart from many other churches. And notice we don't set ourselves apart. The table and our commitment to the table, this is what sets us apart. We claim the Lord's Supper. We claim it as the Lord's table, symbolized in the bread and in the cup, and we claim it for every gathering. I mentioned last time that we, the church, do not decide who eats at this table. It is for each of us to decide in our hearts. There is a warning, and the warning is that if we do not see Jesus here at the table, there will be judgment from God. But the church does not work to purify this table. I will talk about this in detail in a moment. We talked last time about excommunication. That means to be out of communion. And that's a case when the church refuses the table to someone because of unrepentant sin. Usually that meant murder, robbery, or sexual sin that had not been repented of. But the point is that excommunication is not for the sake of the purity of the table. No, excommunication is for the purpose of helping the unrepentant see the need for repentance. Excommunication is not for the sake of the table. Excommunication is for the sake of the person. Being out of communion, being excommunicated, that person should desire to be back in communion, and all that is necessary to be in communion is to be repentant. We claim to be repentant before we eat here. We say it in the Lord's Prayer before we eat. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Heavenly Father. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses. So let's talk about purity for a moment. I'm not going to explain that to you today. I leave it for you to think about. The New Testament speaks of purity and purification two different ways. In some cases, we are called to purify ourselves in Christ. 2 Corinthians 7:1, James chapter 4, verse 8, 1 John 3, verse 3. We purify. We are active in purifying ourselves. And in other cases, we are the ones being purified. We are purified. We are acted upon. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But notice that even in James's book, in chapter 4, James is not claiming that judgment divides the church. You see, the purity of the church is not the church's job. The church should keep the unrepentant from the table and certainly keep the unrepentant from leadership. But the purity of every member is not the church's job. Jesus came to heal the sick, the physically sick, and the spiritually sick. Those who look to Jesus for healing eat here. And they eat here in whatever stage of recovery they are in. Some, spiritually speaking, have come through surgery. Others have come through treatment. Some are still receiving spiritual treatment. We are coming here for our salvation. Some of us are still being saved. I know I am. My salvation isn't something that happened a long time ago. It happened yesterday and it's happening today. Happens every day. I'm being saved every day. And certainly all of us here were seriously ill at one time, were we not? Weren't we all at one time or another seriously, spiritually ill and in need of healing? Well, through Jesus Christ, all are being made well. All are being made whole again. And that's at no matter what stage of your recovery, no matter what stage of healing you're in, you are being healed, you are being made well, you are being made whole. But it would be hard to claim that we are all pure. Many of the letters in the New Testament deal with divisions. And so our letter today, the 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, some of the people in that congregation were claiming superiority, spiritual superiority. Some of it based on their own background, some based it on their spiritual gifts, some based it on the Holy Spirit, some based it on those who baptized them, thought they were spiritually superior because of it. Some others wanted to treat certain other people better than others and so discriminate against the membership. Some even thought themselves so superior they were above certain rules of conduct. You and I, looking at such a congregation, might shake our heads and think, oh man, this can't be fixed. This is broken. This congregation's broken. But the apostles don't say that. The apostles usually address everyone in the church as a saint, as claimed for God through Christ, as set apart by Jesus Christ our Lord for God's purposes. Paul usually reminds the congregation of their higher calling. It's a higher calling that they have not yet attained. And to some, he says, it's a higher calling they have not even attempted to reach. Ouch. And yet he writes, I always thank God for you.